There's something different in the house today. The singing was so full. The pews are so full. It's great to see people here this morning. Not like there aren't people here every week, but it's nice to see more faces. So welcome. We've been going through trying to figure out, I guess, who we are and whose we are. And I guess the most prominent question I've been asking is, who is Jesus to you? And today, I think the question is, who are we to Jesus? I mean, this is a relationship that we've been talking about since the beginning of the year, I guess. And I guess last week I was focusing on the foundation, and this week I want to suggest that we need to be building on the right foundation. Well, I believe the right foundation is Jesus Christ, but that's just me. So before we go any further, if I could pray, Father, I pray that we would be attentive to your word today, that your spirit would minister to our spirit, that we would be focused on you, not distracted by the things of the world. We certainly know that Satan doesn't want us to hear messages that can make a mark in our lives. So I just ask that you would use this time effectively for molding and shaping or recreating us into those you would have us be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think by now you're pretty aware that I seem to ask the same questions over and over again. I read through my sermon notes this morning and I was like, you know, I feel like I just said this. So I'm going to say it one more time. Tuesday marks a new month, right? It's going to be March. And then 31 days later, you know what's going to happen? It'll be April. But more than that, when you sit back and think about it, we'll be a quarter of the way through the year. Why does time go so fast? Well, I think it's because I don't pay attention. So we have today and tomorrow, and February's over. And then we have 31 days to maybe make a difference. So let me ask, at this point in time, what are you planning? What are you purposing to do this year different than you did last year? I think I ask that question every year and maybe almost every month. But until we really evaluate that, things won't really change if we don't have a plan. We plan for success, but who plans for failure? Well, if you don't plan, sometimes you fail. We need to be building time into our busy schedules for the future to be any different. Otherwise, I wake up, I make my coffee, I go to my office, I eat lunch, I go home, and it's the same. Over and over and over. You know, this world offers so many attractive things to pursue, yes? A car, a house, a job, prestige. But are they worth it? Will they last? I have a good job until I get fired. I have a great job until I move. I have a good job until I get hurt or injured or sick. Do the things of this world last? Will they stand the test of time? Who and what you are building your future with makes a difference. So at the close of the service last week, I said, God has laid a foundation. God has laid a foundation we are to build on, right? And then I asked or made a stinging point. How you choose to build is completely up to you. Are you planning to be successful or are you not planning? And you're prone for failure. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." My hope for today is that at the end of our time spent together, you will have an unquenchable desire to live the rest of your life pursuing God. We have access to Him through prayer and through His Word and through the fellowship with one another. And so far, we have the freedom to do that. Our days are numbered. My hope is that the Holy Spirit will help you understand you were created to know God in an intimate, personal, and meaningful way. Not just Sundays and Wednesdays, every day of every moment. I want you to understand that the more time you spend building your foundation on Him in the long run, the less likely anything you build on that foundation is likely to crumble, fall, or fade away. When you respond to God's call in your life, you come to Jesus, allowing Him to lord over your life. You have come to the living God who created the universe. And He's the only foundation that you can have in this life to successfully make wise choices. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, after talking to those people who didn't get it, who were building their relationships on the wrong foundation, described what it is to have new understanding. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to reference there a couple of times. So Luke chapter 6, and pretty deep into the chapter, verses 46 and 49 especially. Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading at 46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was built well. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." So, in verse 47, let me help you along here. What are three actions Jesus used to describe those who call Him Lord? Specifically in verse 47, whoever comes to me, whoever hears my word, whoever puts my words into practice. Do you think the order of these steps is important? I mean, this is God's word to us. I mean, how do you think people fare when they're taught to read the Bible? Read your Bible every day. Obey what it says. And they're not taught to first come to the one who authored it. You need to know Jesus before you're going to have any desire to search His scriptures, to mine the Word of God. You have to know Him, not know of Him. You have to know Him if you think you're going to put any of these ideas into practice. You're praying for your friend at school? What? That's awesome. You know, we recognize that we have power in Jesus, in His Word. That's what we're building our life on, I hope. Yes? In John 5, 37 through 41, Jesus is speaking to the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And oh, they were sad, you see. When Jesus said, you have never heard His voice, nor seen His form, nor does His word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one He sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me. Listen, to have life, you got to come to Jesus first, or you're walking dead. In Luke 6, what does Jesus liken a person who hears and does what he says? We just read it. They're like a wise. They're considered wise. I like to think I'm a wise guy. Yeah, it goes both ways. Anyway, what happens if a person hears what the Bible has to say but has no intention of putting it into practice? When Jesus talked about those who build their house on a foundation, he made sure to let us know that when the torrents and the storms come, they're going to come against both those who hear his word and put it into practice and those who don't. The storms come. We need to understand that becoming a believer and following Jesus doesn't exclude us from experiencing pain and trouble. I'm preaching to the choir here. We all know that, right? We are not exempt from the storms in life. And you talk with any true follower of Christ, more than likely they're going to tell you, very likely when you start following Jesus, you're going to have more troubles. You know why? Because there is one in this world that doesn't want you to hear these things or know the truth. So, hey, I'm following Jesus and my life is, I ain't going there. And when life gets tough, we should be running there. Here's what is different in a person who hears and obeys Jesus' words. They have a foundation that'll prevent their lives from falling apart, from being destroyed. Some of you last year and into this year have gone through some stuff. But with Christ as your focus, you're going to make it. Not necessarily easy. You're going to be crying. You're going to be crying out. You're not going to know what's going on. But you keep going forward. And on the other side, you prevail. Hell, that hurt. In order to hear and obey, we have to take an action. We first have to come to Jesus. That's the most important step to the foundation you're trying to build. And if we're building on the wrong foundation, a sandy foundation or the rock, the choice is up to you. 2 Timothy 2:19 says God's foundation, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows who are his. Remember, we know Jesus, we say he's, but Jesus knows us. This relationship goes both ways. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. We can't be on both sides of the street and think we're going to go somewhere successfully. Fake it until you make it. Plan for success. You have to understand that part of being a Christian involves turning from our sin, yeah, and certainly it includes renewing our mind, you know, how we view life and how we view God. Am I going too fast? Should I slow down? I mean, at some point we need to come where we're going to start to the best of our ability to obey his commandments. I don't think God just wants us to stop doing bad things. I believe he wants us to turn from doing bad and start doing what is right. What does that look like? Well, if it lines up with God's word, it's probably a good idea. If it doesn't, it's probably a bad idea. I mean, life isn't that complicated. But the choice is ours, and that is what is difficult. You know, this is a process, and it doesn't happen overnight. Conflicts will be there. You're going to stub your toe or bump your hip. It may hurt for a little while. But we're going to make it through these conflicts. You have to understand, there is someone in this world who, at all cost, will keep you from knowing this truth. I love the book of Isaiah, and it's going to take me my entire life to try and figure out what this man is teaching, because sometimes his thoughts change in the verse. I mean, you have to go to seminary to figure out how to decipher this stuff. But Isaiah 43:1-3 offers these comforting words. They're for you this morning. It's my gift to you from God. Isaiah 43:1-3. If you're following Christ, if you're building on him, God's word says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. I've called you. Listen, by name,
James,
come forth. When you pass through the waters, we looked at that last week, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, we looked at that last week, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord. Listen, your God, the Holy One of Israel. Listen, your Savior. Until he's that, you don't get the benefits. When you go through the fire, you're going to get burned. When you go through the storms, you're going to get wet. But with Christ, you're going to come out. It's important to understand that the solid foundation comes from the fact that the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the creator of the universe, the one who made everything, knows you. I can't believe it. Think about that for a moment. What is it to be his? And whose were you before you were his? James, you ask hard questions. But for the most part, humans think about themselves. They want to satisfy their desires. And when you give your heart to God, we in essence are saying, God, I give my life to you because I understand it belongs to you anyway. We can be a God or we can let him be God. But either way, our life is his. Satan doesn't want you to come to that understanding. This is why knowing who you are in Christ is the foundation you need to build on right now. Not when you make it through, not when the hard times come, right now. Because John 10:10 warns us that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So let's look at John 10:10 from your own personal perspective. From a different standpoint. Now, think about this. This is what God's word says when you break it down. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy you. His mission in life is to destroy you because God loves you so much. What Jesus is saying here is, I have come that you may have life, that you may have it to the full, abundant, overflowing. Why would I leave that on the table? Because one is distracting me. They call him, I forget, what's his name? Yeah, that guy in the world. I try not to give him any credit. Satan doesn't want you to know this truth. Look, Romans 8, 5 and 6 tells us. Again, this is scripture. If you own a Bible, it's in there. You can read it for yourself. I just happened to stumble across these things through a book that I have that's titled Where to Find It Fast in the Bible. That's how I build my sermons. But it's God's word. And he orchestrates how they lay out. And I hope this stuff's making sense to you. Again, thank you, Ruth. These sermons are recorded. If you have to listen to them four times to get it, cool. But don't so much listen to my words, listen to the reference and then go to his word and let him speak to you through it, him being God. It's God's word, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, capable of getting between joint and marrow and doing a work and making us who we were created to be. What are you going to do different this year, this week? Don't make such a broad... What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do today? Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You want to see where you are in your walk with God? Is your life full of peace? Or is it tumultuous? Is it always a fight? Are you always raising your hand? Do you ever find peace? The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You need to be aware of this fact. Sin will kill you spiritually, emotionally, physically at some point. Some sins can kill you. Any sin, which is any disobedience or lack of obedience to God, sin has a destructive impact on the human life. We need to recognize that. It destroys us. It ruins our relationships. It ruins what we were created for, to love and serve and worship God. You can't be sinning and a saint. Do you realize that the disobedience of humanity concerned God so much that he became a man? He went to a cross to die for our sins so that we could have life and peace, to be delivered from separation and death. Your heavenly Father, is he your? That's imperative here. Your heavenly Father is more concerned that you turn from sin so that you don't suffer the real consequences. Our choices have consequences, good and bad. I choose to, and I can do well. I choose to, and I can... It's true. Hear the instruction of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 24. Come here, Paul. Share with the congregation. Don't take it from me. Take it from Paul. This is what he says. I tell you this. I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. He goes,
let me go on. Pretend I'm Paul.
That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the foundation we need to be building on. These aren't my words. It's God's inspired word through Paul. In 2 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, he asks, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Until he is your God, he's the one that makes a difference in our lives. Paul is sharing this valuable information found throughout God's word because of an encounter he had with him in Acts 26. Maybe you're familiar. He sees this bright light shinier than the sun. People are falling down and he falls down. And then he hears this instruction from God in verses 17 and 18. "I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." You know, having faith in Jesus makes all the difference in this world. You should try it once. I shared five testimonies of people from the Bible that made it through the turmoil last week. Listen to the sermon. Paul made it clear that the only foundation that is sure and secure is that of God himself. Any other foundation will not last. The starting point of your Christian life is to allow God to take up residence in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, which has been given to you. As a follower of Christ, you possess what you need to be a successful builder. I got all the tools. Here's one. When I take a knee, there's another one. More than that, I have the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you again, I'm only learning to hear him. I'm only learning to trust him. This is an ongoing process. And it is so worth it. So worth it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11, "By the grace God has given me, by the grace given us, child of God, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So next week, we're going to be looking at what we are to build with. Plan to be here. Maybe bring a friend. Because it's going to make a difference in the long run as to how you live your life. Father, thank you for your word that is the handbook to life. That is a blueprint for a plan that will succeed. God, I pray that you would create in us a desire to pursue you, to want to hear from you, that we would purpose to follow you. Father, I pray that you would do a work in us this morning and throughout this week until we meet again next. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.